the first examination of Master John Bland in the spiritual court before Dr. Harpsfield, Archdeacon of Canterbury, and Master Collins, Commissary, May 18, 1554. The 18th day of May, Master Harpsfield, Archdeacon of Canterbury, made the mayor's sergeant to bring me before him and Master Collins, Commissary, into Christ Church, and they went with me into a chamber in the suffragan of Dover's house. Then the Archdeacon said, "Art thou a priest?" And I said, "I was one." And he said, "Art thou a graduate of any university?" And I said, "Yea." "What degree," said he, "hast thou taken?" "The degree," quoth I, "of a Master of Arts." "The more pity," quoth he, "that thou shouldst behave thyself as thou hast done. Thou hast been a common preacher licensed, hast thou not?" And I said, "I have been so." "Marry," quoth he, "so I understand. And what hast thou preached?" And I said, "God's word, to the edifying, I trust, of his people." "No, no," quoth he, "to the destroying of their souls and thine both, except the mercy of God be all the greater. I pray thee, what hast thou preached? Tell me." "I told you," quoth I, "what I have preached." "Nay, but tell me," quoth he, "what one matter hast thou preached to the edifying of the people, as thou sayest? I will tell you no particular matter, for I perceive you would have some other matter against me." "No, by my faith," quoth he, "but only that I would win thee from heresies that thou art bewrapped in, and hast infected others withal. For thou hast preached, as I am informed, that the blessed sacrament of the altar is not the very body and blood of Jesus Christ after the consecration. Tell me, hast thou thus preached, and is not this thine opinion?" "Sir," quoth I perceive, as I said, "that ye seek matter against me, but seeing that I am bound in the sessions to my good behavior for preaching, which may be broken with words, and well I know not with what words, and also both mine authority to preach and my living are taken from me, I think thus I am not bound to make you an answer." Collins: "Master Bland, do you not remember that St. Peter biddeth you make an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the faith that is in you?" Bland: "I know that, and am content so to answer as that text biddeth. But I know that Master Archdeacon doth not ask me after that manner, but rather to bring me into trouble." Then they said, "No, ye shall not be troubled for anything that you say here." Bland: "I am content for knowledge's sake to commune with you in any matter, but not otherwise." And so they fell in reasoning more than the space of an hour of the sacrament, both against me. And the last Master Collins said, "Master Bland, will ye come and take in hand to answer such matter on Monday next as shall be laid to you?" Bland: "Sir, ye said I should not be troubled for anything that should be said here for learning's sake." And they said, "Ye shall not, but it is for other matters." Bland: "Sir, I am bound to appear, as some tell me, on Thursday next at Ashford. I am in doubt whether I can or no, yet I have purpose to be there, and so to go to London to Master Wiseman, for an obligation that he hath, whereby I should receive certain money to pay my debts withal." Then said Master Archdeacon, "I will write to Master Wiseman that ye shall sustain no loss." Bland: "That shall not need, for I can sustain no great loss if I go not, but I pray you to let me have a longer day." "No," quoth he. Bland: "Sir, I cannot well come on Monday." Harpsfield: "Wilt thou not come, when he so gently speaketh to thee, that he make manly?" Bland: "I do not deny to come, but I desire a longer day." Harpsfield: "Thou shalt have no other day. I charge thee to come on Monday." Bland: "Sir, I perceive it shall be for this or like matters. Will it please you, or Master Collins, for God's sake, to confer scriptures privately with me in this matter, seeing ye say ye would so gladly win me?" Harpsfield: "With all my heart will I take the pains, and I will also borrow my Lord of Dover's library to have what books thou wilt." And thus they departed. Now the 17th day of May at Ashford, I could not be released, although I was called to the spiritual court for the same matter, but was bound to appear at the sessions holden at Cranbrook the 3rd of July. Another appearance of Master Bland before the Archdeacon and his fellows. The 21st day of May I appeared in the chapter house. There was a great multitude of people unlooked for of me, and Master Archdeacon said thus to me, "Ye are come here according as ye were appointed. and the cause is that it hath pleased the Queen's Highness here to place me, to see God's holy word set forth, and to reform those that are here fallen into great and heinous errors, to the great displeasure of God, and the decay of Christ's sacraments, and contrary to the faith of the Catholic Church, whereof thou art notably known to be one that is sore poisoned with the same, and hast infected and deceived many within thy evil preaching, which, if thou wilt renounce, and come home again to the Catholic Church, both I and many others would be very glad, and I for my part shall be right glad to show you the favor that lieth in me, as I said unto you when you were appointed hither, because ye then refused to satisfy again the people that ye had deceived. And whereas it is feigned by you that I should openly dispute the matter with you this day, although I did neither so intend nor appoint, yet I am content to dispute the matter with thee, if thou wilt not without disputation help to heal the souls that are brought to hellward by thee. What sayest thou? Bland, I do protest before God and you all, that neither is my conscience guilty of any error or heresy, neither that I ever taught any error or heresy willingly. And whereas, your mastership saith, that I have feigned an open disputation with you, it is not true, and I can thus approve. Upon Saturday I was at Ugden's, and there Master Bingham laid it to my charge, that such an open disputation as ye have here offered should be this day between you and me, whereat I much marveled, and said to him that before that present I never heard any such word, neither would I answer nor dispute. And to this can Master Vaughan, Master Oxenden, Master Seth of Overland, and Master Ugden witness. And further I said to them that I never spake to you of any disputation, nor you to me. Now if your mastership have anything to say to me by the law, I will make answer to it. Harpsfield, hear what ye sayeth? His conscience is clear. I pray thee, whereon grounded thou thy conscience? Let me hear what thy faith is. Bland, I know not why you should more ask me a reason of my faith than any other man in this open audience. Harpsfield, why, thou heretic, art thou ashamed of thy faith? If it were a Christian belief, thou needest not to be ashamed of it. Bland, I am not ashamed of my faith, for I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, etc., with all the other articles of the creed, and I do believe all the holy scriptures of God to be most certain and true. Harpsfield, wilt thou declare no more than this? Bland, no. Harpsfield, well, I will tell thee whereon I ground my faith. I do believe and ground my faith and conscience upon all the articles of the creed, and upon all the holy scriptures, sacraments, and holy doctors of the church, and upon all the general councils that ever were since the apostles' time. Lo, hereupon I ground I my faith, with many words more which I well remember not. And when he could get no other answer of me than I had said before, he called for a scribe to make an act against me. And after much communication I said, by what law and authority will ye proceed against me? Master Collins said, by the canon law. Bland, I doubt whether it be in strength or no. Yet I pray you let me have a counselor in the law, and I will make answer according to the law. Harpsfield, why, thou heretic, thou wilt not confess thy faith to me, that have authority to demand it of thee, and yet I have confessed my faith to thee before all this audience. As concerning the blessed sacrament of the altar, thou hast taught that after the consecration it is bread and wine, and not the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. How sayest thou? Hast thou not thus taught? Bland, sir, as concerning this matter of the sacrament, when I was with you and Master Collins, ye said then it was for other matters that I should come hither, and further, that ye would be content, at my desire, to confer scriptures with me, to see if ye could win me. And ye said ye would borrow my Lord of Dover's library, that I should have what book I would. And now ye require me to thus answer, contrary to your promise, ere any conference be had, and seek rather to bring me into trouble than to win me. Harpsfield, I will, as God shall help me, do the best to thee that I can, if thou wilt be anything conformable, and I trust to dissolve all thy doubts, if thou be willing to hear. And I also will desire these two worshipful men, my Lord of Dover and Master Collins, to hear us. Bland, no, ye shall pardon me of that. There shall be no such witness, but when we agree, set to our hands. Hereat made the people a noise against me for refusing the witness. And here had we many more words that I can rehearse. But at the last I said, sir, "Will ye give me leave to ask you one question?" And he said, "Yea, with all my heart, for in that thou askest anything, there is some hope that thou mayest be won." Bland, "Sir, when it pleased Almighty God to send his angel unto the Virgin Mary to salute her, and said, Hail, full of grace, etc., came any substance from God our Father into the Virgin's womb to become man?" Whereat, as well, Master Archdeacon, as my Lord of Dover and Master Collins said, "But my Lord spake the first, and said, The Holy Ghost came to her." And ere he had brought out his sentence, Master Syriac Peter said, "Virtus altissimi obum bravit." "Truth," said Master Archdeacon, "it was the power of God sent by the Holy Ghost." They had forgotten that genitus fuit ex substantia patris, or else they perceived whereunto this question tended, and so both I and they left it, by what words I cannot tell. But I said, "Sir, shall I ask one other?" And he said, "Yea, is there in the sacrament, after the consecration, Christ's natural body with all the qualities of a natural body, or no?" Harpsfield, "Hark," said Master Archdeacon, "hear ye this heretic. He thinks it an absurdity to grant all the quantities of Christ's natural body to be in the sacrament. But it is no absurdity, for even that natural body that was born of the Virgin Mary is glorified, and that same body is in the sacrament after the consecration. But perceive ye not the arrogancy of this heretic that will put me to answer him, and he will not answer me. He thought to put me to a pinch with this question, for I tell you it is a learned question." Bland, "Sir, if ye be so much discontented with me, I will say no more. Yet I would all men heard that ye say the glorified body of Christ is in the sacrament after the consecration." Harpsfield, "I may call thee gross ignorant. Thou gross ignorant is not the same body glorified that was born of the Virgin Mary? Is it then any absurdity to grant that to be in the sacrament?" And while he spake many other words, I said to Master Pettit that the sacrament was instituted, delivered, and received of his apostles before Christ's body was crucified, and it was crucified before it was glorified, which saying Master Pettit partly recited to Master Archdeacon. Harpsfield, "Thou art without all learning. Was not Christ's body given to his apostles as in a glorified act, and yet no inconvenience, although his natural body was not crucified? For when he was born of the Virgin Mary without pain, was that the act of a glorified body? And when he walked on the water, and when he came into the house of his apostles, the doors being shut fast, were not these acts of a glorified body?" Then my Lord of Dover helped him to a better place, and said, "When Christ was in Mount Tabor, he was there glorified in his apostles' sight." Harpsfield, "Ye say truth, my Lord. He was glorified in the sight of three of his apostles." Bland, "Methinks is new doctrine." Harpsfield, "Well, seeing he will by no other way be reformed, let the people come in and prove these matters against him." And therewith the archdeacon brought forth a copy of the bill of complaint that was put against me at Christmas, and about that we talked a little. And then Master Archdeacon rose up and said, "See ye, good people that know this matter, that ye come in and prove it against him." Whereunto answered Thomas Austin, "I pray you," said he, "let us be no more troubled with him." And then spake John Austin, and heaped with one eye, and began to accuse me. But no answer they could have of me, but, "Do to me what ye can by law, and I will answer it." Then said Thomas Austin, "Bland, ye were once abjured." Bland, "Say ye not truly, goodman Austin, I was never abjured." "Either," said he, "ye were abjured, or else ye had the king's pardon." "Neither or both. Ye speak of this malice," with many other prabbling words more. Then Master Archdeacon departed, and left Master Collins to command me to appear the next day. Howbeit, for certain other urgent business that I had, I did not appear, but wrote a letter to Master Commissary, desiring him to respite the matter till my coming home again. And if he would not, I would be content to submit myself to the law when I came home. Now about the 28th day of June, I came to Master Commissary to show him of my return, and offered myself to satisfy the law, if it were proceeded against me, before Master Cox of Surrey, and Marks the Apparitor. But Master Commissary said gently that he had done nothing against me, and so appointed me to appear before him Friday 7 night after. Now, in the meantime, was the sessions holden at Cranbrook, where I was bound to appear, and carrying surety with me to be bound again, for I looked for none other. Did appear the 3rd of July, and Sir John Baker said, "Bland, ye are, as we hear say, a Scot. Where were ye born and brought up?" And I said I was born in England, and he said, "Where?" And I said, "In Stedford, and was brought up by one Dr. Lupton, provost of Eton College." "Well," said he, "I know him well. Remain to your bond till afternoon." Then said Sir Thomas Moyle, "Ah, Bland, thou art a stiff-hearted fellow. Thou wilt not obey the law, no answer when thou art called." "Nor will," quoth Sir John Baker. "Master Sheriff, take him to your ward." And the bailiff set me in the stocks with others, and would not hear me speak one word. And so we remained in the jail of Maidstone till a fortnight before Michaelmas or thereabouts, and then we were carried to Rochester, to Assize Holden there, where we were among the prisoners 2 days. And when we were called, the judges of Assize asked our causes. When my cause was rehearsed, Master Barrow, clerk of the peace, said that I was an excommunicate person. Then Master Roper of Linstead talked with the judges. But what? I am not able to say. But the judges of Assize said, "Take them to Maidstone again, and bring them to the sessions that shall be holden next at the town of Malden." Howbeit, the sheriff did not send for us, so that we tarried at Maidstone till the sessions holden at Greenwich, the 18th and 19th of February, 1555. I and others, being within the bar amongst the felons, and irons upon our arms, were called out the latter day by the jailer and bailiffs, and eased of our irons, and carried by them into the town to Sir John Baker, Master Pettit, Master Webb, and 2 others whom I know not. Another examination of Master Bland before Sir John Baker, February 19, 1555. Baker: "Bland, wherefore were ye cast into prison?" Bland: I cannot well tell. Your mastership cast me in." Baker: "Yea, but wherefore were you put in before that time?" Bland: "For an unjust complaint put upon me." Baker: "What was that complaint?" I told him as truly and briefly as I could. Baker: "Let me see thy book." And I took him a Latin Testament. Baker: "Will ye go to the church and obey and follow the Queen's proceedings and do as an honest man should do?" Bland: "I trust in God to do no otherwise but as an honest man should do." Baker: "Will ye do as I said?" Bland: "Will it please your mastership to give me leave to ask you a question?" Baker: "Yea." Bland: "Sir, may a man do anything that his conscience is not satisfied in to be good?" Baker: "Away, away," and threw down his book, the book, and said, "It is no testament." And I said, "Yes." And Master Webb took it up and said unto me marvelous gently, "Master Bland, I knew you when you were not of this opinion. I would to God you would reform yourself with better words than I will write." And I said, "If ye have known me of another opinion that I am of now, it was for lack of knowledge." Baker: "Yea, sayest thou so? By Saint Mary, and thou hold 3 there, I will give 6 faggots to burn thee withal, or thou shouldst be unburned. Hence, knave, hence." And so we were reprieved into our place again within the bar. And at night, when judgment of felons and all was done, we were called, and the judge said to the jailer, "Take them with you, and deliver them to the ordinary, and if they will not be reformed, let them be delivered to us again, and they shall have judgment and execution." And one of our company said, "My lord, if we be killed at your hands for Christ's sake, we shall live with him forever." Another appearance of Master Bland in the spiritual court, March 2, 1555. Then came we to the castle of Canterbury, and there we remained till the 2nd of March, at which day we were brought into the chapter house of Cree Church, where were set the suffragan of Canterbury, Master Collins, Master Mills, with others, and then went to them Master Oxenden, Master Pettit, Master Webb, and Master Hardis, Justice. And when I was called, Master Webb said, "Here we present this man unto you, as one vehemently suspect of heresy." And I said, "Master Webb, ye have no cause to suspect me of heresy. I have been a prisoner this whole year, and no matter proved against me. I pray you, wherefore have I been kept so long in prison?" Webb: "Leave your arrogant asking of questions, and answer to that is laid to your charge." Bland: "I do so, for I say you have no cause to suspect me of heresy." Webb: "Yes, you denied to Sir John Baker to be conformable to the Queen's proceedings." Bland, is it a just cause to suspect me of heresy for asking a question with leave? So we had more words there than I well remember. Then stood up Master Pettit and said, "Ye were cast into prison because ye fled away from the ordinary." Bland, then have I had wrong, for I never fled, nor disobeyed mine ordinary, nor did anything contrary to the law. Let them now say if I did, but they said nothing. And when I saw they held their peace, I said, "Master Commissary, have you been the cause of this mine imprisonment?" "No," quoth he. "Ye know that when ye went from me, ye were appointed to appear the Friday after the sessions." Here I was suffered to speak no more, but shut up in a corner till my companions were likewise presented. And then we were sent to Westgate, into prison, and were put in several close holds, that never one of us could speak to another, nor any man was permitted to come to us. We were four times at this appearance, but one they dispatched, by what means I cannot tell, whose name was Cornwall, a tanner. And thus hitherto passed the talk between Bland and the justices, and certain gentlemen of the shire. Now followeth the order of the reasoning between him and the clergyman before whom he was examined. But forasmuch as the chiefest steward and judge against him was the Bishop of Dover, or suffragan of Canterbury, called Dr. Richard Thornton, to the intent it may appear what little truth or constancy is in these Catholic persecutors, I thought here to exhibit, by the way, a certain popish letter, written of a papist unto him, wherein is declared what a gospeler the said Richard Thornton was in King Edward's time, who now, turning with the world, showeth himself such a bitter precursor against God's servants in Queen Mary's time. The copy of this letter here followeth. A copy of the popish letter written to the Bishop of Dover by one Thomas Goldwell, a priest, declaring what a professor the bishop was in King Edward's time. Right Reverend and my good Lord, after my hearty thanks for your good cheer at my last being with your Lordship, this shall be to certify you, that as soon as I arrived with my Lord's grace, I gave him your letters, but I had much work to obtain anything of him for you, for there had been given very evil informations of you, and it hath been said that you have concurred with all manner of evil proceedings, the which hath these years past been in England, as well against the holy sacrament of the altar, and against the supreme authority of Christ's vicar in earth, as with the use of the abominable late communion, and with the marriage of priests, as well religious as secular, and that you have given orders to, I cannot tell how many, base, unlearned, and evil-disposed people, by reason of the which they have taken upon them to preach, and to do much hurt in Kent, so that men think that yet, if any new mutation, the which God forbid, should chance, you would be as ready to change as any other. And indeed, it maketh me to fear the same, by reason that notwithstanding it, hath pleased Almighty God to provide that your absolution was sent unto you, not looking, I dare say, for any such thing, of all manner of matters past, yet your Lordship, more regarding the vanity of the world than the offense of God, the which he only knoweth how much it grieves me, for the due love I bear unto you, presume to sing Mass in pontificalibus, the holy days immediately following, and also to ministrate to children the sacrament of confirmation, because that one, being a member of the devil, did somewhat comfort you so to do. O my Lord, what honor should it have been both to God and yourself, and also edification to all good people, though all worldly men and heretics would therefore have laughed you to scorn, if you, considering your great offenses toward God and his goodness again toward you, would, like as you have offended in the face of the world to the damnation of many, likewise have showed yourself penitent in the face of the world to the edification of many, and not only to have celebrated for vanity, pontificaliter, but also for a time to have abstained for reverence totaliter from the altar, according to the old custom of the church, the which I have also seen observed of some honest men, not being thereunto enjoined of any man. But that which is past cannot be called again. And I thought it not my part to leave your Lordship, mine old friend and master, in the mire. Wherefore I cease not to solicit your cause with my Lord's grace, till at the last I obtained of his grace for your Lordship all the faculties of the which I sent you a copy here enclosed, partly for your own consolation and partly for others, desiring your Lordship so to use them to the honor of God, that there come to me thereof no rebuke, not publishing them to any person, but to such that you know will gladly receive them. For hitherto there is never a bishop in England who hath granted him so great authority concerning those which be under his cure. Only Master Archdeacon hath the like, and in one thing more great than be these your lordships. Wherefore your lordship shall do well to remit unto him all such priests as have cure of soul, whether they be beneficed men or parish priests, for he hath not only authority to absolve them as you have, but also to give them authority to absolve such as be underneath their cures. And thus I commit your lordship to the protection of Almighty God. Written at Brussels, the 16th of June, 1554. Your lordship's bead man, Thomas Goldwell. And thus much concerning the Bishop of Dover, by way of digression. Now to return again to the examinations of Master Bland, let us hear his own report of his answers, as followeth. Bland, here followeth mine answer, as nigh as I can call to remembrance, every word and sentence. Yet, if any that was present can help to perfect it, I would be glad. But yet this dare I say, that there is never one sentence, but it was openly spoke, the 9th of March, in the chapter house of Cree Church, in the presence of as many as they had chosen, the mayor of the city being called to be assistant, and all others shut out. The answer of Master Bland in his appearance before the commissary and others in the spiritual court, March 9th, 1555. Master Collins said, Master Bland, ye know that ye are presented unto us as one suspect of heresy. How say ye? Be ye contented to reform yourself to the laws of this realm and of the Holy Church? Bland, I deny that I am suspected justly of heresy, and this ye heard when I was presented, that I denied the suspicion to be just, but to defend the unjust punishment that I have suffered. Neither can ye prove that any occasion hath been given by me, whereby any man should suspect me therein. But if you have any law or authority to proceed against me for anything done for a whole year ago and more, I will answer to it. Collins, ye were convinced before Master Archdeacon and me, and matter of heresy laid to your charge. Bland, that matter was done and said a whole year ago, and for that I have been in prison this year and more. If ye have anything against me by any law, I desire you to let me know the law and the matter, and I will answer according to the law. Then said my Lord Suffragan, but that I am one of the judges, I would rise and stand by thee, and accuse thee to be a sacramentary, and being witness to prove it, yea, and further, that thou hast called the Mass an abominable idol. Bland, you, my Lord, have heard me say so, but I heard you once say that in your conscience ye had abhorred the Mass 3 years. Thou liest, quoth he, I never said so. Bland, my Lord, if they might be heard, I can bring witnesses to approve it, with the day, time, and place, and I once did hear Master Collins at a visitation in Wingham say that Christ was a full satisfaction for all sin present, past, and to come, contrary to that he saith now. And here we had more words of this matter, which I do let pass for lack of good remembrance. Master Collins said, this is but a drift. You were better answer now, for else you shall go to prison again, and be called on Monday, and have articles laid to you. And if ye then answer not directly, ye shall be condemned, pro confesso, and that will be worse for you. Bland, sir, I do not now, nor will then deny to answer to anything that ye can lay to my charge by the law, wherefore I trust ye will let me have the benefit of the law. Collins, this is the law, that if ye be required of the ordinary, reddere rationem fidei, then may ye not deny it, and that we do now. Bland, to that then will I answer, for I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, the only Son, our Lord, with all the other articles of the same creed, and I believe all the articles contained both in the creed called the Mass Creed and in the creed of Athanasius, and I do believe that all the Holy Scriptures and all things therein contained are most true. Collins, this will not serve you. You must answer to all such articles in all these as shall be laid to you or asked of you. Bland, let me know of the law, that it is in that force, without any just cause of suspicion proved against me, and I will answer. Collins, how say ye? Will ye answer? Bland, sir, I have answered you. Have him away, said my Lord of Dover. He had better have answered. Bland, my Lord, I am ready to answer, if ye have anything against me by the law. Bishop of Dover, ye have preached many heresies in Adisham, where I am parson now, and therefore ye must make answer to them. Bland, lay them to my charge by the law, and I will answer them, if he can approve that I am bound to answer to what was done a year and more ago. For if he may do that, ye may also lay to my charge and compel me to answer to all things done in all my life, I trow. Collins, it is not a year ago since you were before Master Archdeacon and me. Bland, it is a truth. It is a year and 10 weeks since the words were spoken, and I have been a prisoner ever since, and have been at 5 sessions, and never could have my cause tried. Methinketh your charity should think it punishment enough if I had been guilty. Collins, all this will not serve you. You must needs answer, and it will be better for you to answer now than another time. Will you reform yourself, and go to the church, and worship Christ in the blessed sacrament of the altar, and be obedient unto all the Queen's laws? Bland, I pray you, wherefore am I brought hither? Collins, to answer to such things as are demanded of you. Bland, sir, I thought ye had some matters against me by the law. Collins, well, on Monday at 9 o'clock ye shall see the law and have articles laid unto you. Then they had spied Master Cox the lawyer, and called him in, and said, Here is a lawyer can tell you are bound by the law to answer. And he said, as they had said, Collins, do ye not believe that after the consecration of the blessed sacrament of the altar, there remaineth no substance of bread, but the substance of Jesus Christ, both God and man? Bland, Master Commissary, I know not by any law why ye should ask me that question more than any other man here. And after a little talk, my Lord of Dover asked me this question, Dost not thou believe, after the consecration, that it is the body of Christ? And I said, No, I do not so believe, for the Scriptures do not teach me that there should remain the flesh of Christ, to eat as a man should eat man's flesh. Then Master Glacier said, That was the opinion of the Caperniates, that there is no man here of that opinion, and spake long of cutting Christ's body as men cut flesh in the shambles. Then Master Dr. Fawcett said, Master Bland, forasmuch as you and I were brought up both in one house, and born both in one parish, I would be as glad as any man alive to do you good, but ye may not thus stand against the church, for Christ saith, Ye must humble yourself, and take up his cross, and follow him. And to humble yourself in this place is to be content, and not to stick to your own judgment, but to humble yourself to the Holy Church, which hath determined that after the consecration there remaineth no bread, but the natural body and blood of Christ. Bland, Master Doctor, if ye take humbling of ourselves in that place, to admit the determination of the Church, then must we know by the Scriptures that the same Church determine nothing but according to the Scriptures, as this is not, and therefore I do not believe any such transubstantiation, nor ever will, God willing. Then, quoth he, I have done with you. I will no more pray for you than for a dog. Then said Master Glacier, How think ye, did Paul, when he said, Is not the bread that we break a partaking of the body of Christ, did he mean baker's bread? Bland, though he did not mean baker's bread, that doth not prove that he break natural and real flesh. Glacier, No, by St. Mary, we say not so, but we say it is the natural body glorified under the forms of bread and wine. Bland, then the apostles had it not as we have, or else his glorified body was crucified for us. Glacier, Tush, you do not understand the Scriptures, for Christ's body was ever glorified in that it was so marvelously united to the Godhead. Yea, and he showed his body diverse times glorified, as in the Mount Tabor, and when he walked on the water. We see he was light, and had no weight in him. Was not that then a glorified body? Bland, then belike Peter's body was glorified, if walking upon the water was a deed of a glorified body, and the iron that Eliseus made to swim upon the water. Tush, quoth my Lord of Dover, that was done by prayer. But they made such a noise with laughing that I heard no more what my Lord said. Bland, Masters, I know that it availeth us nothing to reason with you, no more than it booted you in the time of the gospel. For then neither the reason of Echius, Cochleus, nor yet of the detection of the devil's sophistry of my Lord Chancellor's doing could take any place, and it is known to some that there that be here that something I can say in them. Dover, No, you know, Ecolampadus, Zwinglius, and such others, Bland, indeed, my lord, I have seen part of their doings. Dover, that is seen by thee today. Glacier, I was glad when I heard it. You say ye believe the Catholic Church, and now go you from it? Bland, no, that I do not. Glacier, ye know that Christ saith, if thy brother hath offended thee, go and reconcile him between thee and him. If he hear thee not, take two or three with thee, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses all things may be established. If he hear not them, tell it to the church. Seek ecclesiae. If he hear not the church, take him as a heathen. I pray you where ye could have found this church of yours 50 years ago. Bland, ye know that the true church did not in all times flourish, but was wonderfully persecuted. Then my lord of Dover cried, no more, I command you to hold your peace. Have him away and bring in another. Collins, ye shall come again in on Monday at 9 o'clock, and in the meantime ye shall have whom ye will confer withal, your friend Dr. Fawcett and Master Glazier, if ye desire them. Bland, I will refuse to talk with no man. As for my conference of your part, it is but weak laws, established as they are, but when there was no law, I did desire conference, and so for that time I departed. The Monday after we were brought forth to the same place again, and then Master Collins began to speak to me. But after what manner, it is clean out of my mind, but the end was that I would reform myself. But, as I did before, I demanded what they had to lay to my charge, and to see the law, which they said before I should see. Dover, what needs that? We have enough against you, for you denied to me transubstantiation in the sacrament. Bland, I did refuse to answer till ye promised that I should see the law, whereby ye may compel me to answer. My lord of Dover took the scribe's book, and read the answer that I had made to Dr. Fawcett's reason, which I knew not that they had written. Bland, my lord, I made you no such answer when ye asked me. I take Master Collins and Master Glazier to witness. Then they brought forth a decretal, a book of the Bishop of Rome's law, to bind me to answer, which my heart abhorred to look upon. The effect was that the ordinary had authority to examine, and that they, so examined, must needs answer. But I said that it meaned of such as were justly suspected, as I was not, and here we had much communication, for I charged them with unjust imprisonment, which they could not avoid. But Master Oxenden would have helped them, and said, the justices put me in prison for a sermon seditiously spoken, and for troubling a priest at Mass. Bland, that is not true, for, after I had been 10 weeks in prison, I was bailed till I was cast in again, and, as the justice said, for the disobeying mine ordinary, which I never did. Collins, will you be content to confer with some? It will be better for you. Now we offer it you, because you would not desire it. Bland, as I did not refuse before, no more will I now, but I did not perceive before, but that one thing might have come, without any leave asking, to confer the scriptures, and therefore I looked that Dr. Fawcett would have come to me without desiring, if any commodity to me had been in conference, for though I was never able to do him good, yet once I was his tutor. Collins, are ye content to come to his chamber this afternoon? Bland, sir, I am a prisoner, and therefore it is meet that I obey, and come whither you will, and so departed. At this time we were three, but they took another to appear before them the Tuesday 7 night after. And when he came, I knew not what was done, but that I hear they excommunicated him and let him go. His name was Miller, a clothier. Here followeth a certain consultation of Master Bland against false and manifest absurdities, granted by Master Mills, priest of Christ Church in Canterbury. Mills, we say that Christ is in or under the sacrament really and corporally, which are the forms of bread and wine, and that there is his body contained invisibly, and the quantities which we do see as whiteness and roundness be there without substance by God's power, as quantity and weight be there also by invisible measure. Bland, this is your own divinity to make accidents the sacrament, and Christ's real body invisibly contained in them, and so to destroy the sacrament. And yet the doctors say, materia sacramenti est panis et vinum. And God by his power worketh no miracles with hoc est corpus meum, so to change the substance of bread and wine into his body and blood, and that he maketh accidents to be without their substance by invisible measure. I am ashamed to see you so destroyed Christ's sacrament, contrary to your own doctors, and trifle so with God's work. Mills. To Christ is given all power in heaven and earth, so that by the omnipotent power of his Godhead he may be and is where he listeth, and is in the sacrament really and corporally without occupying a place, for a glorified body occupieth no place. Bland. Mark your own reason. All power is given to Christ both in heaven and earth. By the omnipotent power of his Godhead he may be where he is. Ergo, he is in the sacrament really and corporally, without occupying a place. I deny your argument, for it followeth neither of your major nor minor. And first I would learn of you, how you know that Christ listeth to be present at every priest list. For if the priest list not to say your Mass, then Christ listeth not to be there. Again ye say, all power is given unto Christ, both in heaven and in earth, so that that is the cause, by your reason, that by the omnipotent power of his Godhead he may be where he list, and by that reason he hath no power of his Godhead till he had his human body, and then he was not equal with the Father in divinity, for all power was not given to Christ before the humanity and the Godhead were knit together. Neither was he filius. He is more danger than ye are aware of, if ye would stand to it with just judges. Mills. We eat Christ's flesh and blood spiritually when we receive it with faith and charity, and we also do eat it corporally in the sacrament. And the body that we so receive hath life, for the Godhead is annexed thereto, which although it to be received with the body of Christ, yet it is not invisible after a gross sort. And the flesh of Christ that we receive is lively, for it hath the Spirit of God joined to it. And if a man be drunken, it is not by receiving of the blood of Christ, for it is contrary to the nature of Christ's blood. If he be drunken, it is by the qualities and quantities without substance of blood. Bland. I am glad that you are so much against all men to say that Christ's body is alive in the sacrament. It may fortune to bring you to the truth in times to come. Methink it is evil to keep Christ's body alive in the pyx, or else must ye grant that he is alive in receiving and dead in the pyx. And ye say truth, that it is not the natural receiving of Christ's blood that maketh a man drunken, for it is the nature of wine that doth that, which ye deny not. And a more truth ye confess that ye did think, when ye said, if a man be drunken, it is by the qualities and quantities without the substance of blood. For indeed, blood hath no such qualities with it, by which it is evident that there is no natural blood. If a man be drunken with wine consecrated, it must be a miracle, as I think you will have it, that the said accidents should be without their natural substance, and work all the operations of both substance and accidents, and so it followeth that a man may be drunken by a miracle. The blood that ye receive, ye say, is alive, because it is annexed to the Godhead, and the flesh that ye receive is lively, because it hath the Spirit of God joined to it. This division is of your new inventions, to divide the body and the flesh, the one alive by the Godhead, and the other lively by God's Spirit. And both one sacrament, ye make of a thing so fantastical that ye imagine a body without flesh, and a flesh without a body, as ye do qualities and quantities without substance, and a living body without qualities and quantities. Mills. If case so require, and there be a godly intent in the minister to consecrate, after the consecration thereof, there is present the body and blood of Christ, and no other substance but accidents without substance to a true believer. Bland. Ye grant three absurdities, that in a ton of wine consecrated is nothing but accidents, and to increase it withal, ye have brought in two inconveniences. First, that it is not the word of God that doth consecrate, but the intent of the priest must help it. And if that lack, ye seem to grant no consecration, though the priest speak the word, and yet your doctors say that the wickedness of the priest minisheth not the sacrament. And to an unbeliever, ye seem to say that it is not the same that it is to the true believer. And then must the believer have something to do in the consecration. Indicit ins in siclum qui vult vitare charidin. Mills. The substance of Christ's body doth not fill the mouse's belly, for although he doth receive the outward forms of bread and wine, yet he doth not receive the substance inwardly, but without violation. And a mouse doth not eat the body of Christ, to speak properly, for it doth not feed him spiritually or corporally as it doth man, because he doth not receive it to any inducement of immortality to the flesh. Bland. Ye make not your doctrine plain to be understood. We must know how a mouse can receive the substance inwardly and outwardly. Ye say he doth not receive the substance inwardly, but without violation, ergo, with violation, he receiveth the substance inwardly. Ye say that the mouse cannot violate Christ's body, but he violateth the substance that he eateth. And this your proper speech doth import, as much as that the mouse should eat the sacrament to as great effect, and the same thing as doth the unworthy receiver. For, if that be the cause, that she properly eateth not of the body of Christ, because she doth not feed upon it spiritually nor corporally, nor receiveth it to any inducement of immortality. As ye say, then it followeth that the unbeliever and the mouse receive both one thing, and yet it cannot be denied that the mouse will live with consecrated bread. And then ye must grant the absurdity that a substance is nourished and fed only with accidents. Mills. Men's bodies be fed with Christ's body, as with immortal meat, by reason of the Godhead annexed to eternal life, but men's bodies be corporally nourished with qualities and forms of bread and wine, and we deny that, by the sacramental eating, any gross humor turned into blood is made miraculously in the body. Bland. Whereas it cannot be denied that a man may live and naturally be nourished in the natural body, but with the sacramental bread and wine consecrated, ye cannot avoid that. But then ye turn to the spiritual nourishing of man's body by Christ's body and Godhead annexed, which is nothing to put away the absurdity, that either a man's natural body should be fed naturally with accidents, or else to have them changed into gross humors. But ye say, men's bodies be corporally nourished with qualities and forms of bread and wine. And then must ye needs grant that qualities and quantities must be made substance in man. For, ex istem sunt et nutrientur mixta, or else all that is the nutrients in man is accidents and no substance. Mills. If the forms of bread and wine be burned, or worms engendered, it is no derogation to the body of Christ, because the presence of his body ceases to be there, and no substance cometh again. Bland. Ye grant here that a substance may be made of accidents, as ashes or worms, but I think ye will have it by your miracles. And this I count a more absurdity than the other, that Christ's body should cease to be there, and no substance to come again, for no word in all the whole Bible seems to serve you for the ceasing of his presence. Though we grant you, which we do not, that it were there. God Almighty, open your heart, if it be his will and pleasure to see the truth, and if I thought not my death to be at hand, I would answer you all the rest. In these and all other my doings, I submit myself to our Savior Jesus Christ and his holy word, desiring you, in the bowels of Christ, to do the same. Your orator in the Lord, John Bland. Another appearance and examination of John Bland, June 13, 1555. Hitherto you have heard the troublesome handling of this faithful and blessed servant of God, John Bland, tossed to and fro, from prison to prison, from session to session. At last he was brought before the Bishop of Dover, the Commissary, and the Archdeacon at Canterbury, the 13th day of June. The name of this bishop was Richard Thornton. The Commissary was Robert Collins, whom the Cardinal, by his letters patent, had substituted to be his factor before his coming over to England. The Archdeacon was Nicholas Hartfield. Under these, a great sort of innocent lambs of Christ were cruelly entreated and slain at Canterbury, amongst whom this aforesaid Master Bland was one of the first, who, as it is said, being brought before the said bishop and his colleagues, which were John Frankish, Nicholas Shetterden, Thomas Backer, Humphrey Middleton, William Cocker, was examined of articles, to whom it was objected by the commissary whether he believed that Christ was really in the sacrament or no, etc. So this he answered and said that he believed that Christ is in the sacrament, as he is in all other good bodies, so that he judged not Christ to be really in the sacrament. The last appearance of John Bland, June 20th, 1555. Whereupon, the day being Monday, he was bid to appear again upon Wednesday next, and from thence he was deferred again to Monday following, being 20th of June, in the same chapter house, then to hear further what should be done, in case he would not relent to their mind. The which day and place he, appearing as before, was required to say, his mind plainly and fully to the foresaid articles, being again repeated to him, which articles commonly and in course they use to object to their examinates which be brought before them, as here now followeth and need not much hereafter, especially for that country of Kent to be repeated. Articles ministered by Richard, Bishop of Dover, to Master Bland, and likewise to the rest following after him. First, that thou art of the Diocese of Canterbury, and so subject to the jurisdiction of the Archbishop there. 2. Item, that thou art a Christian man, and dost profess the laws of God and faith of Christ's Catholic Church, and the determination of the same. 3. Item, that all parsons which teach, preach, believe, affirm, hold, maintain, or say within the Diocese of Canterbury, otherwise than our Holy Mother the Church doth, are excommunicate persons and heretics, and as excommunicate and heretics ought to be named, reputed, and taken. 4. Item, that thou, contrary to the Catholic faith and determination of our Mother Holy Church within the Diocese of Canterbury, hast openly spoken, maintained, holden, affirmed, and believed, and yet dost hold, maintain, affirm, and believe that in the Blessed Sacrament of the Altar, under the forms of bread and wine, there is not the very body and blood and Savior of our Savior Jesus Christ in substance, but only as a token, sign, and remembrance thereof, and that the very body and blood of Christ is only in heaven and nowhere else. 5. Item, that thou, contrary to the Catholic faith and determination of our Holy Mother Church, hast within this Diocese of Canterbury openly spoken, said, maintained, holden, affirmed, and believed, and yet dost hold, maintain, and affirm, and believe that it is against God's word that the sacrament of Christ's Church should be ministered in an unknown tongue, and that no man safely and with a safe conscience or without peril of sin receiveth any sacrament ministered in any tongue that he understandeth not. 6. Item, that thou, contrary to the Catholic faith of our Mother Holy Church, hast and yet dost hold opinion and say that it is against God's word that the sacrament of the altar should be ministered in one kind, and that no man may with a safe conscience so receive it. 7. Item, that the premise be true, and that there be a common fame upon them within the Diocese of Canterbury. The answers of Master Bland to the aforesaid articles. To these articles, Master Bland, answering again in order as they were objected to him, saith to the first, granting the same, that he was a priest, and of the Diocese of Canterbury. To the second also he answereth affirmatively. Item, to the third he answereth that the article is true, meaning the Catholic Church to be Christ's Church. Item, in the fourth article, as touching the first part of the article, he doth confess that he hath preached and taught it, as it is contained in the same. And as touching the second part of the article, he doth confess that he doth now also hold and say as he preached and taught before. Item, to the fifth article he granted. To the sixth he hath preached, held, and doth hold as it is contained in the article. Item, to the seventh and last article he granted the same, etc. This done, and his answers and confession taken, respite was given him yet a few days to deliberate with himself. So the 25th day of the said month of June, he, making his appearance again in the said chapter house, there openly and boldly withstood the authority of the Pope, whereupon his sentence was read, and so he condemned and committed to the secular power, touching the form and tenor of the sentence, because all their sentences, of course, agree in one, read before the history of Master Rogers. The prayer of John Bland before his death. To the Lord Jesus, for whose I love I do willingly leave this life, and desire rather the bitter death of this cross, with the loss of all earthly things, than to abide the blasphemy of thy holy name, or else to obey man in breaking of thy commandments. Thou seest, O Lord, that whereas I might live in worldly wealth to worship false gods and honor thy enemy, I chose rather the torments of this body and the loss of this my life, and have counted all things but vile dust and dung, that I might win thee, which death is more dear unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Such love, O Lord, thou hast laid up in my breast, but I hunger for thee, as the deer that is wounded desireth the soil. Send thy holy comfort, O Lord, to aid, comfort, and strengthen this weak piece of earth, which is void of all strength of itself. Thou rememberest, O Lord, that I am but dust, and not able to do anything that is good. Therefore, O Lord, as thou of thy accustomed goodness hast bidden me to this banquet, and counted me worthy to drink of thine own cup amongst thine elect, give me strength against this element, that as it is to my sight most irksome and terrible, so to my mind it may be, at thy commandment, as an obedient servant, sweet and pleasant, and through the strength of thy Holy Spirit I may pass through the strength of this fire into thy bosom, according unto thy promise, and for this mortality to receive immortality, and for this corruptible to put on incorruptible. Accept this burnt offering and sacrifice, O Lord, not for the sacrifice itself, but for thy dear Son's sake, the Savior, for whose testimony I offer this free will offering with all my heart and with all my soul. O Heavenly Father, forgive me my sins as I forgive the whole world. O sweet Savior, spread thy wings over me. O God, grant me thy Holy Ghost, through whose merciful inspiration I am come hither. Conduct me unto everlasting life. Lord, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Lord Jesus, receive my soul. So be it. The history of Nicholas Shetterden, John Frankish, and Humphrey Middleton. Having now passed over the examinations of Master Bland, let us further proceed to the rest of his fellows, con-captives, being joined the same time with him, in the like cause and like affliction, the names of whom were Nicholas Shetterden, John Frankish, Humphrey Middleton, Thacker, and Cocker, of whom Thacker only gave back. The rest, constantly standing to the truth, were altogether condemned by the Suffragan of Canterbury, the 25th day of June, the year above expressed, touching whose examinations I shall not need long to stand. Forasmuch as the articles ministered against them were all one, so in their answers they little or nothing disagreed, as hereafter, by the Lord's help, you shall hear. In the meantime, because Nicholas Shetterden in his examinations had a little more large talk with the archdeacon and commissary, I will first begin with the same. The first examination or reasoning of Nicholas Shetterden with Master Harpsfield, archdeacon, and Master Collins, the commissary, for the which they sent him to prison. First, the archdeacon and commissary affirmed that the very bare words of Christ, when he said, "This is my body," did change the substance without any other interpretation or spiritual meaning of the words. Shetterden, then, belike, when Christ said, "This cup is my blood," the substance of the cup was changed into his blood without any other meaning, so the cup was changed and not the wine. Harpsfield, not so, for when Christ said, "This cup is my blood," he meant not the cup, but the wine in the cup. Shetterden, if Christ spake one thing and meant another, then the bare words did not change the substance, but there must be a meaning sought as well of the bread as of the cup. Harpsfield, there must be a meaning sought of the cup otherwise than the word stand, but of the bread it must be understood only as it standeth, without any other meaning. Shetterden, then do ye make one half of Christ's institution a figure or borrowed speech, and the other half a plain speech, and so you divide Christ's supper? Harpsfield, Christ meant the wine and not the cup, though he said, "This cup is my blood." Shetterden, then show me whether the words which the priests do speak over the cup do change the substance, or whether the mind of the priest doth it. Harpsfield, the mind of the priest doth it, and not the words. Shetterden, if the mind of the priest doth it, and not the words, if the priest then do mind his harlot, or any other vain thing, that thing so minded was there made, and so the people do worship the priest's harlot instead of Christ's blood. And again, none of the people can tell when it is Christ's blood or when it is not, seeing the matter standeth in the mind of the priest. For no man can tell what the priest meaneth but himself, and so are they ever in danger of committing idolatry. Then when the archdeacon somewhat moved and sat him down and said to the commissary, "I pray you, Master Commissary, speak you to him another while, for they are unreasonable and perverse answers as ever I heard of." Then stood up the commissary and said, "Your argument is much against yourself, for ye grant that the bread is a figure of Christ's body, but the cup can be no figure of his blood, nor yet his very blood, and therefore Christ did not mean the cup, but the wine in the cup." Shetterden, my argument is not against me at all, for I do not speak it to prove that the cup is his blood, nor the figure of his blood, but to prove that the bare words being spoken of the priest do not change the substance any more of the bread than they do change the cup into blood. Commissary, it could not be spoken of the cup when he said, "This cup is my blood," but he meant the wine in the cup. Shetterden, then it remaineth for you to answer my question to the archdeacon, that is, whether the mind of the priest, when he speaketh over the cup, doth change it into blood, or the bare words. Commissary, both together do it, the words and the mind of the priest together, yea, the intent and the words together do it. Shetterden, if the words and the intent together do change the substance, yet must the cup be his blood and not the wine. For as much as the words are, "This cup is my blood," and the intent, ye say, was the wine, or else the words take none effect, but the intent only. After the commissary in his chamber said it was the intent of the priest before he went to Mass, without the words, for if the priest did intend to do as the Holy Church had ordained, then the intent made the sacrament to take effect. Shetterden, if the sacraments take effect of the intent of the priest, and not of God's words, then many parishes having a priest that intendeth not well are utterly deceived, both in baptizing and also worshipping that thing to be God, which is but bread, because for lack of the priest's intent the words do take none effect in it, so that by this it is ever doubtful whether they worship Christ or bread, because it is doubtful what the priest do intend. Then the commissary would prove to me that Christ's manhood was in two places at one time, by these words of Christ in John 3, where he saith, No man ascendeth up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, that is to say, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. By this he would prove that Christ was then in heaven, and in earth also, naturally and bodily. Shetterdon, this place and others must needs be understood for the unity of the person, that in Christ was God and man, and yet the matter must be referred to the Godhead, or else he must fall into great error. Commissary, that is not so, for it was spoken of the manhood of Christ, for as much as he saith, the Son of Man, which is in heaven.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at puritandownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at puritandownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit puritandownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.